I'm having a good day this morning. Nothing blocking my throat, just a little gravel, but. So you're going to have to bear with me today. Last week I told you I misplaced my tablet. Well, I found it later in the week. It had slipped down in the seat between a black seat and black carpet in my black truck, and my cover is black, and I didn't see it. I found it, but only after I'd started typing my message on my phone. In the process, I realized this morning I can't just transfer that from my phone to my tablet. It's not an Apple tablet. I think, well, I guess I get to read my message off of this. But so anyhow, I do have my tablet again, praise God. But I want to read a scripture to you. It's going to be found in Exodus. Exodus chapter 15, verse 13. It says, "You in your mercy have led forth the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation." It's not coming up here. To God's holy habitation. This is in Exodus. This is the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. We live in a new covenant. Not saying that we discard what was there. It's saying we have a better covenant. I've got a new deal for you. I've got a better deal for you. And so Moses is singing. This is called the Song of Moses. And he's talking about the habitation of God. Moses is a man who knows God's presence. He knows it. In Exodus 33, God said, "You're a man that I speak to face to face." Think about that. Ain't nobody talked to God like that in a long time. The last one to really get to do that was Adam. Everybody else, they just had intercessor. God would come down and he would meet with Moses. He would habitate. God and Moses was drawn. You know, when everybody else sees smoke, fire, and all kinds of things happening on a mountain, Moses sees God's there. I want to be there. We see things happening. Oh, no, we don't want any part of that. You know, if there's a little bit of waves on the water, oh, we don't want any part of that. And we'll tell you right now, it can be fun unless you have one of those stomachs kind of like mine that, after so much of this, you're chumming the waters. But here's the thing. Today, I hear people calling for revival all the time. Lord, we need a revival. I say, no, we don't necessarily need a revival. And here's why. We need revivals. Yes, don't get me wrong. Don't want anybody go, oh, pastor's against revival. No, listen to the message. Time to pull out the notes, the great big notepad. A revival is a visitation. And a visitation is when we are associated with someone, but we do not dwell with them. This past summer, end of the summer, we went and visited my son, Jesse. It was a visit. We visited my aunt and uncle. I loved being with both of them. It was a good time. And especially Jesse's new place. It sure beat Hampton. I'm going to tell you right now, Hampton was maybe just a little bit like little Chicago, maybe. It's sirens and gunshots and all kinds of things. In shorter terms, we call it a visit. It means that we may spend a determined amount of time with us, and then after that is fulfilled, that person will go back to where they are from or move on to the next person. Back in the day, they used to have traveling preachers. You didn't have your own pastor. He went from town to town and he stayed with somebody. And usually people were excited because it's the word of God. The word is coming. The preacher's going to preach. People got excited about it. Today we have so much word. Nobody's excited. And everybody's saying, I can enjoy God on my Harley. I can enjoy God on the lake. I can enjoy God in the tree stand. He said, come to my house. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you may feel it out there, but guess what? You got 6 other days, and you got the whole afternoon you could do that too. Anyhow, during this time of our lives, our lives become a bit disrupted, don't they? Somebody comes to our house, everything goes upside down. You know, if you get in a certain mode of not shutting certain doors in your house when you're doing certain things, Well, you might want to start shutting your bathroom door. We now have to plan our days and nights around them being there. Meals, bath times, even prayer time and relaxing time. Sometimes when you're hosting, you do need a little me time. And sometimes even when you're the person there, you don't know what to do. It's not your house. You're the stranger. You don't habitate there. So you don't have any of the things around you that are familiar to you. We are in a constant state of stress. While we tell others or them that it is not an inconvenience when they leave, we can sometimes literally feel the stress lift off our shoulders. I remember hosting a pastor one time, he kind of a big name. I was so glad to see him leave. I was like, oh, we both felt it. It was just like, and even somebody else that was there, he didn't even do what all we had to do. And he was like, why do I feel like a weight just lifted? I said, because it did. Depending on the visitor, there may be some kind of anxiety they bring to the table. And that was one of the things. I wanted to make sure this was the man I respected. I wanted to make sure things were pop, 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 pop. You know what? God has taught me, if you don't trust your people by now to do what they're supposed to do, can you really ever trust them? So, when I give people something to do, if I have a way that they need to do it, they do it. But I just let them go now. You do it. You know, just like Tim, he's like, I got an option for fixing this. We had two options. We could have got a whole new truck. But Tim was going to, we were going to lose the gas we put in the truck because they didn't put gas in it. And Tim was going to have to drive all the way to Marion, swap the truck out, and bring it all the way back. Tim's like, I think I can fix it with spray foam. I said, there's two cans in the maintenance office. Get them. Tim did it. It's fixed. Problem solved. Most of the time, it is simply we feel like we are responsible for them having a good time while they're with us. It's my job to make you feel good. Well, not really. It's not my job to make you feel good here. If you're here because, well, a preacher going to preach me happy, you got a problem. I can preach a great message, amen, hallelujah, praise God, but I'm not responsible for your happiness. Because guess what happens? You've already forgotten the word I spoke, and you walked out that door, and the devil said, you got a flat tire. What you going to do now? You get home, a bird flew into your window and broke it. A visitation is merely a temporary stay. I use the word stay as not the reference to the visit, but rather as a slight shift in priorities. Things get pushed to the side. Your own children may get pushed to the side. Your spouse may get pushed to the side. Your obligations in life get pushed to the side. Oh, but I got to be here. No. You know, I think we were just talking about last night. So, you know, a couple weeks, Justin's going to go see his brother. He's going to fly down there. He's going to be in there all over the weekend. But there's going to be one day Jesse's got to go to work. Justin's in a state he's never been in. And house, he's just been in for a couple days. Doesn't know the area. He's a visitor. And during that time, I know Jesse's going to love having him there because it's him and a cat. Come on. He's got a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house now, and he's going back crazy. So he loves visitors, but things have to get shifted. You know, even when we were there, he was maybe had to go to the gym just a little bit earlier so we could go do this, or he had to go to work, so we went on our own time and did things, which is good. We needed that. He needed that. The stress of entertaining mom and dad, this is my house, I need to make sure everything's flowing perfectly. All I wanted to do was sit on a beach. That was it. But we still must brush our teeth. We still got to eat, sleep, work, and use the bathroom. When my wife and I were courting, I wasn't around very often. We had less than, I think it was about a month and a half, and I was shipping out. In our society, a lot of the time I was gone. I was either in school or training for serving overseas. I would get to come home from time to time, and whenever I did, it would always be a major challenge getting there. Partly because she was also in college at this point. When I got out of boot camp, she was in college. So I graduate boot camp. I'm going to spend every day with her. Well, I got home on a Sunday. She had to go back Monday. And so she came over after school when she could, and we spent as much time as we could for 10 days. And those 10 days were only granted to us because we had already been there for 13 weeks, and they said, you need to learn how to be human beings again. You call everybody that walks, sir. You stand at attention all the time. You're freaking people out. You need to be not a robot anymore. When those days were up, I went on to combat school. And after that, I went to my MOS school. So my life was a whirlwind affair. In the meantime, I tried to visit whenever I could, and it was always a hectic deal. After I got to come home from boot camp, the next trip I got was Thanksgiving. Did not know I was going to get to do that. Figured we were out in the field, and all of a sudden they said, hey, we're giving everybody 96, which is a four-day pass. We're like, really? We thought we were eating canned turkey in a tent. So they cram all, I forget how many, couple hundred of us into these things we call cattle cars. When they take you out there, they're standing room. When they haul you back, you are a sardine. I fell asleep on the way back standing up because there was no point. I was locked in. We couldn't move. And let me tell you right now, you want something that smells bad? First off, Marines who've been in the field for almost 2 weeks and showers are not available. And then eating MREs for 2 weeks, bad news. I was not allowed to have a car at the time. I was at the mercy of everybody else. That particular time, I borrowed $100 from my buddy. I'm on my way out. They inspected us going out the gate to see if we were dressed right. I did not have a belt. Looking back, I could have put my uniform belt on. It was legal. I ran all the way back, threw my green Alpha uniform on, and ran all the way back. All right. Then they had to inspect me because it's a uniform. We get to the bus station. I'm the very last one that could squeeze on the bus, and I stood by the door. I actually had to cram in for them to shut the door, and I stood at the very bottom of the well for 2 hours while we drove to Raleigh, North Carolina. And then I rode for another 20 hours all over parts of Washington, D.C., Pennsylvania, West Virginia. Yeah, it was a visit. But they dropped me off at the side of the highway. I said, hey, is there any way you can just drop me off at this exit? Because otherwise we were going to Mansfield. He said, yeah, I can drop you. I called home, said, hey, meet me here. Bus pulled off before the ramp. I got out, walked up the ramp, walked over, and Mom and Dad and Angela were in the car, and we went away. I bought a belt that weekend because that was a miserable ride in uniform. The visit was a bit stressful, but sleep wasn't a huge priority. I wanted to spend every moment I could with her. We ate together, went to movies. We visited friends and family, but in the end, I had to go back to base. And her life would resume. Normal sleep time, studying when she was supposed to be, and I went back to my duties. The purpose of these visits, though, was to get ready for habitation. That's what visitation is for. Yes. We get stuck on, I gotta have that to survive. No, you don't. If you need to keep going back to revival to get saved, you got a problem. I'm not saying you don't get refreshed. That's great to be a part of it and get Woo! You know, I know you just went down and heard Joyce Meyer preaching. I've gone and heard Joyce preaching. I love it. But if I have to go to Joyce Meyer in order to get up in the next morning and the morning after that to be able to keep functioning, Joyce is not my problem. Church is not my problem. I'm the problem. I have focused on the wrong thing. We learned about movies we liked. Oh, wait a minute. During these visits, we learned foods that we either liked or abhorred. She was stunned when I ordered a thin crust pizza at Pizza Hut. In her mind, pan crust was the only way to go. I still could see the shock on her face. She's like, no pan? We learned of movies we liked or disliked. We got to know each other's families. We learned each other's real personalities during this time. We'll quote unquote the real, because there were still things we always hid from each other. This doesn't mean we were pretending to be somebody else. We were just always on our best behavior. The visits were short. Visitation is not a long, drawn-out affair. It is always a short time. Visits cause us to sometimes rearrange our lives. No matter who you are a creature of habit. You like doing these things at certain times. You like getting up at certain times. You know, I know Pat likes getting up because it's the way he was growing up in his young adult life. When he had a family and working a job, he got up at X amount of time, drank his coffee, and went to work. And now he still kind of does it. He's like, I'm awake. I don't need to be awake. When you have been working on developing a disciplined prayer time, a visitor can throw a wrench into works, can't they? They're up. Why am I awake? I don't know. This is my prayer time. What are you doing? I know when she's an earlier riser than I am, and I'm kind of all over the place. But there'll be mornings I get up. There was one morning the other day I was up at 4:45. I was like, nope, I'm not going back to sleep. I got up and I start writing my notes. Well, she got up a little bit, her normal time, but that's her time to pray, to read, not be looking at my husband, who's sitting in his chair, right in front of me. See, so things can throw little wrenches, but you still got to do it. So she just kept trying to read through. And I still doing my thing. Some of our visitors come from a different time zone. They're all mixed up. Now someone else is needing your attention as well. We sometimes rejoice when they go back home. We like our patterns. This is not saying we don't love them or are glad to see them. It just becomes more of us than we thought. We even neglect our work to make plans, while in the back of our minds we are constantly reminded that we are falling further behind, thus creating more stress. Instead of enjoying the moment. The point of courting visits was to develop a relationship as a base for habitation. Wait a minute. Yeah. We spent time talking about kids, family, homes, and dreams. We went to church together. We did not miss church. She was the one time I came home. It was for Christmas. She was sick, was not going to be able to go to church. So I thought, well, I'm going to play hooky too. I was not attending church regularly at the time, and my walk with the Lord was suffering. And I'm like, I ain't going to go. And I'm laying there, and I'm like, I can't not go right now. I got up. The only church clothes I had was my uniform. So I threw them on and went to my mom and dad's church at that time in Mansfield. As my new life in the military was progressing, we had less and less time together. We wrote letters on average about every other day. I called for 10 minutes every 2 weeks whenever I could at $2 a minute, which was huge back in 1990 and for a PFC who was making $700 a month before taxes. We continued our conversations of dreams and such. We discussed things through the mail. It was our only choice. Do you realize the epistles are letters written? They're talking about the things because they can't be there. You have them to go back to. But We would continue to learn more about each other. Then the wedding day came. We would be joined together in spirit as well as flesh. But my time was still a visit. I still had 6 more months overseas as I got extended due to the Gulf War. We would progress in our relationship during this time as well. But you see, traveling 7,500 miles one way and coming back across the international date line does have some effect. For me, the change in times, it was 13 hours. Guys kidnapped me. Let's see, I got home on Wednesday. Friday night, we had the rehearsal dinner, and some of my groomsmen decided to kidnap me. We're going to take you bowling, go do something. And Rob Peters was one of them, and they threw me in the back of Rob's car, a Firebird with a great big glass hatch, threw me in the trunk. If you've ever had one of them, the trunk is about this big. That's where I went, and they didn't check for clearance. And they slammed that big heavy door down on my head. Pretty sure I got married with a concussion. But that night, I was pretty much passed out in Rob's front seat because it had caught me. That I did actually get to see the day twice because I went back. And it's like, I do. I did, and I will. But anyhow, so I had all that. The change in the diet also plays a major role in your gastrointestinal distress. If you've ever traveled that far, or even if you just traveled to Texas or Florida, traveling in a plane can do things to you. And our hotel room had a hot tub, but no wall between the bathroom and the bedroom. Glorious time. We're on our honeymoon, and guess whose belly is acting up? It was agonizing. 2 days later, I finally said, one of us has to do it. So I did, and I took our relationship to a whole new level. We have looked back on that moment with a touch of regret. During this time, we existed as man and wife, but we had no dwelling of our own. So we were always in close proximity of others. After returning to Okinawa, we picked up where we left off, writing letters, making phone calls. We were married, but not habitating. Finally, my orders came in, plans were made. We drove to North Carolina to find a home. We moved in and began our habitation. And we have habitated ever since fall of November 1991. And we've spent all those times learning that those first probably 6 months were huge. We're married. There's no escaping because we meant till death do us part. And we have both admitted and confessed to each other. There were a few times we thought, what's life in prison like? When she told me that, though, I was taken aback. I'm like, I'm just going to stay on your good side. But we began to learn details of each other, good and bad. We had already learned much about each other. However, there was no hiding every little thing now. Like I said, we had already crossed the Rainbow Bridge with the gastrointestinal stuff. We started learning, why are you so picky? What? Why are you such a baby about this? Really? That makes you sick? I didn't know that. Why do you find that funny, honey? You are a sick individual. She was always talking to me. Anybody with a military type of humor and anybody who would have gotten along good, you find things funny. Having our own place, our design likes and dislikes began to come to surface. They also began to melt together. The two became one. Habitation is a constant. Even though we may go separate ways that day, we are still connected. People in the church have grown used to periodic movements in their lives where they have excitement. We call it revival. Revival is a time for spiritual renewal and repentance. During a revival, we feel excited, and we do ride high on the hormones our body produces for such experiences. Believe it or not, your body is experiencing the hormone races, the dopamine and adrenaline, all that stuff, and you feel good. What happens when you go home? It's a letdown. However, the revival is just a visitation. The disciples who walked with Jesus after the resurrection even said, did not our hearts burn while we walked with him and while we talked with him? But that burn was gone. They were with the walking word. And they felt that burn in them. Something that excited them, and yet they didn't know it. It was just a temporary thing, though. People spend much time and money chasing revivals. I know them. There's a revival happening in India. We need to go. No, you don't. You need to be a revival for somebody. You don't need to keep chasing the revival. Why is it you keep chasing it, come back home, and you go right back to the same old, same old? Oh, that's right. You don't have a home church. You think you know more than God. And you know better. That's what's wrong with much of the church today. And I'm going to throw the charismatic Pentecostal church in that, because we're kind of the leaders of that. We got away from preaching about holiness. We got away from preaching about God's love, God's mercy. And some go across the line and they just say, well, it's all God's mercy. You can do whatever you want. No, you can't. There's repercussions for sin, period. While this is not a bad thing to go to those revivals, it is not a replacement for habitation. We are not called to have spurts of excitement and then the doldrums of life in between. They can be refreshing, but they are not sustainable in life. During such times, we need to learn to take the message that was preached and actually apply it to our lives. If you're not taking the word that I preach and applying it to your life, I don't care if you just got one little thing. You don't have to get the whole message. Do you realize that? And sometimes all it takes is that seed. The first real message that started getting through to me about forgiveness, I got in North Carolina. Now, I'd heard people talk about it from time to time when I was at home. But this particular point in my life, I had a major monkey on my back. Some things had transpired back here, and I was not a fan. And I knew I had to forgive them. After my pastor preached that message, like, I cannot forgive them, Lord. I don't want anything to do with them. And we forgave them. And you want to know something? They called and asked if they could come visit us. Say what? You're going to drive from Ohio to North Carolina to visit us? I think they stayed with us, didn't they? Yeah, we were on the way, but they wanted to stop and visit us. So I'm thinking at that moment, no, I just assume you just drive off the end of the ocean. But we didn't. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad we did allow them, because we started working on that forgiveness. And I was able to forgive them. God pushed me through, because it's a good thing, because he put me back in their realm later to prove it. But I had other people I had to forgive. And that took another 10 years. So don't think, well, I ain't getting nothing. Shut your pie hole, listen to the message, and read your Bible. And talk to God. What do you want me to preach on? How to be wealthy? Trust God. Do what God says. Well, how to be healed? Trust God. Do what God says. By the way, there were people that went through their entire lives with ailments, with things wrong with them, physically missing things. There's a young man, he is young, and I think he's from Australia. Yeah, he ain't got no arms or legs. He's just walking around in these little things. He calls them his flippers. He's hilarious. And he said, I kept wanting God to grow my arms and legs. He said, but you know what I get to do now? I have people come to see me and they hear me because I got no arms or legs. He's reaching more people for Jesus with his ailment than he is without it. Anyhow, when we apply the word to our lives, we first learn that God's presence never leaves us. We can walk in the same joy we have in a revival. You're just on a high. The highs always have to come down. You cannot live on adrenaline. Because guess what? You're a drug addict then. Ask any drug addict. Once you start taking something, that you get used to it. And then you go up. And then you go up. And then you go up. It's what I did with alcohol. It's like, oh, yeah, you know, I got that garbage that we could steal. When I say steal, we were all underage. We'd get it from somebody in the barracks and, oh, I got me a little buzz going on. Okay, boy, I bet you I'd feel great if I got more and more and more. And then it finally turned to whiskey. And then tequila. And then it's like, I don't know who's in charge anymore. Because I kept seeking the high, how it made me feel. And I had to come to the point where I needed to know that God was there. And he took that desire from me. It took a while for the whiskey, I ain't gonna lie. I'd smell those whiskey barrels at Lowe's in the springtime when they get filled up with water, and I'm like, can I, anybody think anything wrong if I just stick my face down in there? And then one day I realized when I walked by him, no effect. And then I bought my own whiskey barrel. My dog loves it. Not for certain why. I think it might be because of the frogs that grow in it. But secondly, the multiplication of the presence of God is due to the fact that we are coming together as a group of believers with the same purpose. Guess what just happened today? If you didn't allow God's presence into your heart, that's on you. Release the guard off your heart. Sometimes it needs to come off with forgiveness. Believers with the same purpose, we get to get ourselves closer to God. We seem to forget that we have the same opportunity every week in our church. If we do not enter into that tangible presence of God, again, it's our fault, not God's, not mine, us. We drag the problems in with us. If you drug your problems in through those doors, expecting me to fix them, it ain't going to happen. I don't fix your problems. Why? Because you'll go back. I can tell you what to do, and you know what I find out happens usually? People go, he don't know what he's talking about. No, you're right. I've only been ministering now for almost 25 years to people, telling them, you need to get away from the drugs. You need to cut that friend out of your life. They're not a friend. Friends don't rejoice when you fall. They may laugh when you fall down. I'm looking at two particular men. I heard something the other day that said, if you want to know if you're young or old, if you fall down, if they laugh, you're still young. If they panic, you're old. So, I had some people the other day say, that would have been funny. I said, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. We drag the problems in with us and place them on a throne in our life. Here's my problems. They rule everything. I can't come to church because I got problems. The church is not perfect. Church is a hospital. It's a shop, garage, whatever you want to call it. Whatever aspect you want to look at it. We have our problems in front of God instead of laying them at his feet. Leave them there. Leave the stress of that test there. Leave the stress of friends with cancer there. Don't put them up here. In habitation, we are in constant contact with God. It is a stronger relationship than someone who chases the next best thing. I know people, they chase revivals. They hear there's a revival here. They're on the next plane. They're there for a week. Oh, brother, we just need to bring this back here. I want to go there and bring it back. What church are you part of? Well, I don't go to church. How are you going to bring it back? We're the body of Christ. Yeah, I get it. But all these little chromosomes that are running around without being part of an organ in the body of Christ, what are you doing? A kidney floating around outside my body isn't going to filter my blood now, is it? As a matter of fact, it's going to die. Jesus habitated with God the Father. His joy was fulfilled in bringing that joy to people who needed it. Being with other believers fueled that. Yeah, it was a drain on him, but it's because it was coming out of him and going into them. And how many times did he have to look at Peter and think, God, are you sure? Father, are you sure Peter's the one? I mean, come on. Half the time he's a blithering idiot. No. He came back and he says, you are Peter. His name was Simon. You are Peter. And upon this rock, I'll build my church. And the gates of hell will not stand. You need to understand that. But he got that flawed. Because Peter had not quite yet done everything he was going to do. He was with them nearly every day. Even with spending time with other people, Jesus needed to get by himself. He got with God his Father. A husband and wife who are constantly together will begin to have their own problems. We learned that. I've been self-employed since 2000. We started a church in 2001. She's always been the executive secretary. And when, you know, the office was in our home for a long time. And when you got stuff like that, you get on each other's nerve. And we had less than a quarter of an acre in town, so I couldn't get too far away. I rejoiced when I was able to get a shop. Hey, I can at least get 200 feet away, and we can be in separate buildings, and we can talk to God separately. If we're constantly together, we're not having a life outside of our marriage as well, we're going to hit problems. Get away. Talk to our Heavenly Father. We must also remember that our spouse is not us. Let's hear this. The two may have become one, but they are still who God made them. I am not her, and she is not me. It is not up to us to make people get close to God the same way we do. How many times do we have that happening? And I'm not throwing women under the bus, but that's usually who does it. You need to come spend time with me before God so that you can understand God. I don't understand like you. She understands by reading. I understand by going out and doing. Two completely different ideologies there. I understand authority. Why do I need to do it? Because I said. Well, that's not very progressive. I ain't trying to be progressive. I'm trying to save your life. My kids, why do I have to do that? Because I said. You can make your own decisions when you move your butt out of my house. Until then, because I said, works. You'll understand one day too. Well, I just don't agree. Well, that's fine. I'm not the one going to be dealing with the problems you are going to deal with because you let your child argue with you. I hear 3 and 5 year olds fighting with their parents. First off, 3 to 5 years old, I would have looked like the loser in a WWF wrestling match. That was before WWE. They may not react the same way you did. The revelation you may have may not be theirs yet, but they will get it. She got hold of the forgiveness a lot quicker than I did. It was pent up in me quite well, quite strongly. And especially when you do something to somebody I love. That's a harder one for me because my sons have that same streak. You do something to somebody we love, we will hurt you. It's not always a bad thing, but it can be. They may not get the revelation you just got, but they may not react the same way you did when you got it. It doesn't make them wrong for not doing backflips and somersaults. Trust God with their life. Trust God with your life. Neither can they expect you to react the same way they did. I got hold of something a while back. I'm like, that's so exciting. I got to listen. You know, but then I tell her something I'm so fired up and excited about. And she just looks at me. And I'm like, aren't you as excited as I am? I don't get it. Well, that's not good. I start questioning myself. Lord, did the devil give me a revelation? No. He gave me the revelation. She just hasn't got it yet. But she's gotten revelations I haven't got. A visitation is great, but it is just that, a visit. You may feel good, you enjoy the visit, but it must end. It is special. God has moved in my life so many times during these visitations. What happens when we are trying to live in a constant state of revival? It is no longer special. It becomes our everyday routine. We run around the church. You know, there is a time for the reverential fear of the Lord, where you fall and you kneel at your seat. I've just dried out my vocal cords and watered the seat. I tell people when they say that they want to move to someplace they have visited, and we've done this nearly every time we go to a vacation. We went out there to New York, and I'm like, oh, let's see if we can find a little single house out here that we can buy. You know, it's only 5 hours away. Beautiful area. It really, New York has some beautiful areas. But we thought the same thing about Ludington. We thought the same thing about my aunt's area. It's like, hey, find us an acre of ground. I'll put a little cabin on it. Then when is it going to become special? And by the way, when we thought about Ludington, it's like, well, there's a house. How much is it? Oh, $400,000. No, thank you. I tell them when they say they want to move someplace they have visited because it was beautiful or peaceful, that when they move there, it will eventually become the norm. You no longer appreciate what you've got. The only reason we appreciated New York was because we'd never been there. We'd never seen the Genesee River. We'd never seen the mountains. Allegheny. The Allegheny Mountains. I'd never seen them. And, you know, it is something. I mean, I'm used to the Appalachians and, you know, even the Smokies and stuff. You go over them Alleghenies and you top over a hill and you can, and the roads are straight. How they got them that straight is beyond me, but you can look 5 miles ahead of you on the next hill and you can see the headlights coming at you and it's a straight line. But you can also look 10, 20 miles away and there's another mountaintop. Big, wide valleys. Downside is they like to put stop signs at the bottom of the hills and they get lake effect snow. My whole time I'm like, this is kind of stupid. How about stopping one the line that goes through the valley, not the one coming down the hill? Anyhow, if you want to talk to New York about that. Several people I know have done this and moved back. We bought a not special place and made it special. It is our habitation. It took time. It took the two of us dreaming to build it. Many of you have been there. And if you were there before, you understand it's not the same place. Some of you were able to be out there when we first bought it, and oh my, why did you give up that house for this one? Because it was going to be a new habitation. Because of a dream God had given me, but he was birthing in her, and it took the both of us to do it. We took something together and made it special. This is our special place. It's where we spend time alone and with God. People say, oh, I go into my prayer closet. I'm like, I just go sit on my front porch. Watch the sparrows and the bluebirds and the robins and all the other 5 million birds. I was on a phone call one time with somebody out of state, and they said, are you in a bird sanctuary or an aviary? I said, no. I said, I'm in my backyard. I said, there's thousands of birds here. It's where we live and move and have our being. While friends and family come for a visit, they cannot have the habitation experience that I have. They get the visit. That's it. Until I move on, nobody else gets it. It's my habitation. It's her habitation. When my children move on, they move on to their own habitation. They build their own habitation with their spouse. Each one of you have the same obligation. You build your life together. Same thing with God. We spend that time with God and we learn to find our joy. Yeah, and in your Christian walk, yeah, you're going to have those times where you're dragging sometimes. If I say, oh, it's always just rainbows and lollipops all the time. No. David was the one who said, even though I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, you're with me. He's there. But he's also there with you at the side of the river in the pasture. Same God, different experience. You just learn to trust him. It takes time and effort. We've been out there nearly 12 years. It's 12 years now. We've been out there 12 years, and I'm still working on it. It takes time and effort. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. You don't have to have a revival every 2 weeks in your life. You need to be even-keeled and sustainable. And you're not going to get that running to whatever great city. Every time one happens somewhere, I hear a preacher say, oh, there's a special anointing on that city. So people I know move to that city. Why? Why did you move there? Oh, there's an anointing on that city. There's also a lot of reprobates, brother. That's the anointing.